pillar cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Somewhere along the line they forgot when they were trapped down by the Red Sea, with mountains on either side and the Red Sea out in front, and the Egyptian army was closing in fast. They forgot that God told them, I tell you, Moses, what I want you to do, I just want you to stretch out your rod. And God opened up the Red Sea, dried off the land, and they walked across on dry land. And when they got to safety, God called the water to come back and kill off all the enemy. Somewhere along the line, they forgot what all God has done. And you know, that's the reason many times we give up so fast. We forget to look back and realize how far the Lord has brought us. We forget to understand that it was God who has brought us to where we are today. Yeah, not because we earned it, but because of his grace. And it was grace that woke us up this morning. And it was grace that started us on our way. Ain't God all right? Yeah, Lord. I don't know about you, but every now and then when trouble rises and I can't see my way, I just look back and not too far, and I remember if he brought me this far, he can carry me along. If he delivered me from this thing, he can deliver me from that thing. Because the God I serve, I tell you, he's able to do anything but fail. He showed us one Friday on a hill called Calvary when he died that we might live. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and three nights. But bright early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Oh, Lord, it's because he lives I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all of the challenges before us, we can go up together. We can defeat all obstacles and go on in the name of Jesus. Ain't God all right? Yes, Lord. Do you know him today? Have you tried him? My brothers and sisters, I'm trying to close here, but I need to say one more thing. As we make our way through these final days and we make our way to the next year, God got some blessings for us, but we got to hold on. We got to work together. We got to walk together. Where you are weak, I'll take of your slack. Ain't God all right? I tell you, he'll give you everything you need if you trust in him. That's why my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but I'm a holy lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, I sit on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. There's some challenges before us, but the God we serve, he's greater than any challenge that we could ever meet, because he doesn't have some power, but he has all power, not just here on earth, but in heaven and earth and anywhere else. There's some power. You got that too. Yes, Lord. May God bless you. And may God keep you.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-09. 5-2. And join us again for an awesome word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT. It's gonna be all right. Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Everybody put those hands. verses 30 and verse 31. The book is St. Luke. The chapter is 24. Verses 30 and 31. The Bible said, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful for another day of blessing. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this house. We are always mindful of the fact that this is your church. Glorify yourself in this place. The house is full of people, but there are also lots of questions. Father God, we pray that you will provide answers to every question represented here today. Any problem that needs a solution, Father God, we trust you that you will answer all of our problems today. Touch us in a very special way. Feed us that we will know you more. Glorify yourself in the house. Somebody here needs healing. Let this be a day of divine appointment for that person. Somebody need a touch in their pocketbook, in their relationship, on their job, in their daily walk with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us today. Deliver us today. Save us from our own self. Let your will be done in the midst of your people. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled "The Power of an Open Eye." The power of an open eye. The passage I just read to your hearing was not just a story. It was an actual event. And it happened right after the resurrection. Jesus found himself among the disciples, just hanging out with them, but they did not recognize that he was there. How many times that God is in the house and we don't know it? How many times we have angelic visitation in our apartment, in our home, and we have no clue? They were just doing business as usual. And then all of a sudden, it was time to grab some grub. And as they were getting ready to eat, Jesus offered and he broke the bread. And then he blessed it. And then he gave it to them. And all of a sudden, it clicked in their mind that, oh my God, that's Jesus. The Bible says, their eyes were opened. I want to talk to you about the power of an open eyes. Please permit me to mention that many people go through life struggling needlessly because their eyes are not open to opportunities. I encourage you to please pay attention because God wants to reveal something special to you and I today. Many of us are called to be teachers, but we are working as a janitor. And we struggle throughout life because we miss our purpose. Our eyes need to be open. Please take note that everyone that become world famous, everyone, not an exception, every one of those is because God opened that person's eyes to a particular area, and they became famous because of it. I cited Bill Gates as an example in your handout. Bill Gates was one of those that everybody knows is one of the richest in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, but amazing thing about him was that when he was in school, he was not the brightest. The amazing thing about him is that he actually did not finish college. He had to drop out. But God opened his eyes on an area called computer. And today, the whole world cannot do without it. The power of an open eye. Today, my assignment is to teach you how your eyes can be opened. Because many of us walk around, we look like we are seeing something, but we are seeing nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, please permit me to call your attention to some scriptures to guide you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and verse 18. Apostle Paul was praying, and his prayer goes something like this. He said, he prayed that God will give the church at Ephesus three things. He said, I pray that God will give you spirit of wisdom, spirit of revelation, and spirit of knowledge. That's verse 17. But you would think he would say, in Jesus' name, amen. No, he continued to pray. And in verse 18, then he said, I pray that your eyes be opened. That means, ladies and gentlemen, you can be in the church with our closed eyes. That is why I encourage you to pay attention. This is not one of those churches that you can come and just feel good and go home. Every time we gather here is a revival. Don't miss it. God wants to give you and me an open eye. When your eyes is open, then you can see your destiny. When your eyes are open, then the journey becomes comfortable and pleasurable. Many of us, we are suffering needlessly because our eyes are not open. Ladies and gentlemen, please permit me to remind you the prayer of Paul is evidence that every one of us here, we have two sets of eyes. Science will tell you you got one. But the word of God clearly shows you got two sets of eyes. One in the natural and one in the spirit. I wonder this morning which of your eyes is open. Please permit me to call your attention again to some biblical references. The Bible is full of evidence showing that you got two sets of eyes, and it's important that your spiritual eyes be open as much as your natural eyes. If you are here today and your natural eyes is blurry, the Lord sent me to pray with you so that you can see clearly in the natural. I was minding my own business. I had an appointment with an eye doctor. That's when the Holy Spirit began to speak to me concerning this message. I don't come to preach. I really don't have a sermon. I stopped preaching many years ago. I wait on the Lord and hear from heaven what he wants his people to know. And I simply deliver the message and get out. Ladies and gentlemen, the will of God is that God heal you in the natural. The will of God is that your spiritual eye also be open so that you can see the will of God concerning you. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and verse 17, there you see a familiar story of Israel and Syria always at war with each other. Syria will plan a war, a battle, and then the Bible said there was a prophet in Israel. His name is Elisha. And whenever Syria is planning his war strategy, Elisha will go and tell the king of Israel and say, watch out, this is what your enemy is planning. And once Israel figure out the plan of Syria, then they can counter it. At some point, the king of Syria began to wonder, why are we planning things in secret, but Israel is finding out our secrets? Where they say, your lordship, the king, we know exactly what our problem is. There is a prophet in Israel by the name Elisha. And everything we plan in the secret, in the war room, the Lord revealed it to him. And he's in another country. I'm talking about the power of an open eye. When God opens your spiritual eye, you begin to see the plan of your enemy. When God opens your spiritual eye, even when they walk in the room, you can tell if they're right or wrong. That's why I say you got to pay attention. The king of Syria said, well, if that prophet is a problem, let's go and capture him and bump him out. You know how we do that. One time we discovered Osama bin Laden was a problem for our country here. And guess what we did? We came up with a game plan to go take him out. So there's nothing new under heaven. So Syria showed up and surrounded the city where the prophet Elisha was hanging out. Their mission was to capture that prophet so that he would never be a problem again to the country of Syria. It just happened that while they were doing that, after they arrived and they surround the city, the servant of the prophet, Mr. Gehazi, went out. Maybe he just went to take the trash out. I don't know. Maybe it's like me, he just run an errand to go get some Popeye chicken, be right back. I don't know. But the Bible says when he came out, he rushed back in. And the prophet said, wait a minute. Why are you breathing hard? What's your problem? Oh, God said, we are in deep, deep trouble. He said, I see problem all over the place. And isn't it amazing that that servant saw trouble, but the prophet saw victory? Please permit me again to say, when your eyes, your spiritual eyes open, what used to be difficult for other people become fun for you. There's something called sweatless victory. I run into preachers all the time. They say, how do you do this job? How can you keep up with so much? I say, I'm having a great time in the Lord. Because I got the revelation from get-go that I can build no church except the Lord build the church. Everybody, they're wasting their time. In vain they labor. So I just learned to tune in to what God is doing and join him in whatever he chose to do. God can give you sweatless victory on your job. Many people go to work and they're just watching, waiting for the clock to run out because they don't enjoy being there. They cannot wait to check out. Going to the job is painful for them. And then that's not to mention with all the dramas on the job site. Ladies and gentlemen, the prophet reminded the servant. He said, the reason why I'm at peace is because there are more with us than those who are against us. If your spiritual eyes open, a lot of things that you're freaking out about, you'll be shouting and praising God about it. Are you still here? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to suggest to you that both of these gentlemen were looking. The problem is that one is looking in the natural, but the other one is looking in the spirit. And this is why the prophet prayed to God. Guess what he told God? He said, Lord, open his eyes. And all of a sudden, that servant's eyes were open, and he saw legions of angels. Now you see clearly that there are more people with them than those who are against them. You'll be amazed how many of you are freaking out because of what he say, she say, they say, he don't like me, he posts something on the Facebook, he says something on the Twitter, but if God be for you, who can be against you? The same thing is true in the book of St. John, chapter 4. I'm just showing you evidence after evidence to let you know you have two sets of eyes. And for the most part, you've been operating with one. But today we want to turn on the others so that you can live in victory. In the book of St. John, chapter 4, beginning from verse 7, the story was told of a Samaritan woman. You all know it at the well. You all know how Jesus encountered him, and they had to iron out some issues up front. There was issue of gender, because men back then don't talk to women in the public. There was issue of race. Jesus is Jewish, and this lady is Samaritan. There was all kinds of issue of religion. The woman was trying to say, our father believed this, your father believed that. There's issue of national origin. So they went through all of that. And then while they were doing that, the woman's eye was open. All of a sudden, he discovered this is not a man that is hitting on her. This is the savior of the world. All of a sudden, she discovered there is more than the water in the well. There is a type of well that would never run dry. When your spiritual eye is open, you become victorious in all areas. You become lender and not borrower. Again, I beg you, in the name that is above every name, pay attention. My assignment is to teach you and teach me and teach everybody listening on radio, watching on television, live streaming, how you can turn on both eyes that God has given you. Ladies and gentlemen, the disciples came. They were not with him when he was talking with this woman. In John chapter 4, verse 27, the Bible says the disciples came back and they were shocked that he was talking to a woman. And then you keep on reading verse 31. The disciples got over there and said, okay, let's go get something to eat. It's time for lunch. Let's go grab some grub. And then you won't believe what Jesus responds. In John chapter 4, verse 32, Jesus said, I have food already to eat. I have food that you all don't even know about. Then you follow the conversation. The next verse, John chapter 4, verse 33, the disciples begin to think in the natural. They begin to open their eyes in the natural. They're looking around. They say, I wonder who brought him lunch. That's the problem with church people. That's why I don't do too well in church meetings. Because people are too busy just looking in the natural and never see in the spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, verse 34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. Now he began to turn on their spiritual eye now. They were looking for hamburger. They were looking to see who brought Jesus on spaghetti. But Jesus said, the food that I'm talking about is not earthly. The food that I'm talking about is to do the will of my Father who sent me. Now, the disciples now say, come on, Reverend, come on, stop tripping now. You know there ain't no food. We're talking about getting some chicken, you're talking about. So, and then they think he was playing joke on them. You look at verse number 35. Jesus then explained the food that he is talking about. That's John chapter 4, verse 35. Jesus said, check this out. Let me break it down to your level. Because apparently, you're not getting it. Jesus said, just imagine. You all talk among each other, and you will say, it's now 4 months to harvest. In other words, you say, out there, the plants are still growing, the crops are still growing. In 4 months, we're going on the field and harvest. But Jesus said, open your eyes. He said, if you open your eyes, you will see there's already plenty of harvest. Isn't it amazing that many times we're waiting for something that is already here? You'll be surprised how many churches are called to build a house of God, and they've been doing fundraising since 1902. Hey, don't turn me up. Open your eyes. Why the disciples are thinking, well, we still have 4 months left before we can get all the dues and collect all the and be ready and then meet with. No, Jesus said if you open your spiritual eye, you will see the harvest is now. That's why I don't have time chasing chicken. There's something more important right now. Ladies and gentlemen, please permit me to mention, I'm just laying foundation. We are given 5 senses. Am I right about it? Mm-hmm. In the natural. We have a sense of taste. We have a sense of touch. We have a sense of sight. We have a sense of sound. We have a sense of smell. Five senses in the natural. In the natural, because I went to school just like you all, if one of those senses is missing, scientists will classify you as disabled. Please permit me to point out to you, the same thing is true in the spirit. If you have a spiritual eye that don't see, you are disabled. And that is why this kind of teaching, I didn't come and hoop and holler today, but to teach the word of God. God wants us to see both in the natural and in the spirit. Why is that important? Revelation brings manifestation. Manifestation brings activation. You believe in God for miracle, but the reason why you haven't seen a miracle is because your eyes is not open to a miracle. Are you still here this morning? Too many people are blind to opportunities. Too many people are blind to possibilities. And you can live in the greatest nation on earth and spend all your life wondering where is the American dream, and it's right in your front. Are you still here today? Too many people are busy, working hard, busy but not productive. Amen. It's a spiritual problem. Amen. Today, in the name that is above every name, I decree and declare, open eyes in this house. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that every one of us, from the pulpit to the pews, I pray that we will have clarity of vision, clarity of purpose, that you know why you are here, that you know for what purpose God made you, that you're not doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, because money is waiting for you at the place of your assignment. Trying to help somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, I remember in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through verse 7, another story was told of a woman. You all know about her. She became a widow. She was married to a preacher. And then the preacher left her in debt. Hey, brother preachers, sister preachers, don't do that. Don't do that. Because some of your spouse believe in miracle. I hate for you to be dead. And they put you in front of the pulpit, and your wife lay hand on you and wake you up so you can pay the bills. I'm trying to help somebody. This preacher left his wife in debt. The Bible said, since God was, the creditors came. Am I still in the book? You know, an African preacher is a storyteller, so I'm just taking my time, laying the foundation. The creditors came, and they were going to take everything she got, including her son. And then she cried out for help. She cried out to a man of God, and the man of God asked her the question, okay, woman, all right, I get it. I see what's going on. What do you have in your house? A simple question. I believe the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is asking you and I the same question today. Because somebody here under the sound of my voice, you think you are facing impossibility. You think you are facing this giant, this mountain that is uncrossable. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, what do you have in your house? Look at the reaction of this woman. She reacted in the natural. because she only see in the natural. She said, I ain't got nothing. The only thing this house is one part of all. You see, everything is gone. We are broke. We are busted. We're disgusted. But to cut the story short, that one part of all was converted into many parts of all. And all of a sudden, this woman worked from poverty into wealth. God opened her spiritual eye. All of a sudden, she discovered she had plenty in the same house. Back to my text. I told you Jesus sat down with the disciples. They didn't know he was there. He took the bread. That's what we're about to do. You're calling communion. He took the bread. Some preacher would do just that now. He gave thanks. Some preacher gonna do that. He broke it. You're gonna see us do that. And then he gave it to the people. And all of a sudden, their eyes were open. When was the last time your man of God told you that taking communion can open your eyes? Some of you have been taking communion since the days of Shakrat, Meshach, and Bad Negro. You went through religion after religion, but your eyes were never open. But today, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we break the bread, as we give thanks, as we partake of this communion, God will open your eyes. If you receive that, shout amen.
Amen.
What is my message? Communion can lead to an open eyes. If you never hear anything else I have to say, just receive that simple revelation. This is not religion. As you eat the bread, as you drink of the cup, your eyes will become open. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Once your eyes is open, destiny becomes realizable. I want you to decree and declare this after me right now and say, Lord,
open my eyes.
Say it like you mean it. Say, Lord,
open my eyes.
No, you're too comfortable. Stand up. You are prophesying over yourself. Open your mouth and decree and declare, Lord,
open my
eyes. Say like you mean it, Lord,
open my
eyes. I don't know about you. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of going through religion. I'm tired of afraid living. Open your mouth, decree and declare over your life, over your children, over your family, over everyone that is in your house. And Lord,
open
my
eyes.
In Jesus' name. Somebody shout
amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very important that our eyes be open. Please permit me to mention to you why our spiritual eyes are closed. Part of my teaching pointing out that you do have two sets of eyes. Now I want to point out why our spiritual eyes are closed. Number one, sin. Sin is the cataract of the spirit. Am I helping somebody today? That is why the Bible said the wages of sin is death. Are you still here? If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, this is the right time to do that. You don't want to go through life with a closed eyes. If you want to give your life to Christ right now, raise your hand. I know this is not uncommon. This is not the way preachers do it, but I'm unique. I'm different. This is a good time to say, Lord, help me. I want to see more. I just want to see your hand up. Don't worry about who is looking. They won't pay your bills. God bless you. Is there anybody else? God bless you. Is there anyone else? I just want to, God bless you. I want to pray with you before we leave today. Because one of the reasons why our eyes are closed is because of sin. Amen, somebody. God wants to open our eyes. Another problem, ladies and gentlemen, is that some of us have eyes, according to Mark chapter 8, verse 18. The Bible says some people have eyes, but they don't see. The Bible says some people have ears. Am I still in the book? See, I'm just taking my time today. So in the natural, God gave you eyes to see. Just think about it. In the natural, all of you under the sound of my voice, you got two eyes to see in the natural. But check this out. In order for you to see, just because you got eyes, don't mean you're going to see. In order for you to see, you got to open those eyes. You'll be amazed how many people are walking in the spirit with their eyes closed. Not only do you have to open those eyes, in order for you to see, you got to look. Let me give you a little secret. It's not so difficult to see in the spirit if you learn. If some man of God, some woman of God would take the time to teach you. I've seen people call me from time to time, Brother Deacon, and say, Pastor, I've never seen an angel. I've never seen any glory cloud. Then I begin to talk to them, and just about everything they do would never provoke an angelic visitation. Then there are people who come to me who say, Pastor, I've been having all these bad dreams. There are ways you can prevent those demonic attacks in your home. Simple thing as going to bed with Christian music playing in the background. You set the atmosphere that even demons will not walk into your room. But then if every time you go home, all you have is boogie woogie, boom, 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 hook, hook, hoo, ha, hook, ha, hey, hey, haka, hoo, hey. Well, guess what? The devil loves your music. And he sees it as an invitation to come. And it will come in and hang out with you. Well, some of you will tell me, but Pastor, those are my children. Now, this is where the African mean. You lose them in fast and in hurry. Because last time I checked, your name is on that phone bill. Your name is on that cable bill. And guess who is paying the bill? You pay the light bill, you pay the phone bill, you pay the cable bill, and then some joker is going to come into your house and drive the demons into your bedroom. The devil is a liar. You better run down. There is an anointing that will cause you to walk into the room of any of your children and unplug the TV. And if anybody asks you why, because I'm paying the bill. When you get your own house and you get your own cable, then you can play your own stupid music. I'm sorry. Help me, Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, What am I trying to tell you? You cannot see if your eyes is closed. That's why Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, Lord, open their eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you today, prepare yourself for an open eyes experience with the Lord. My time is precious. I want to just tell you exactly how it works. Pay attention. Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
See, just imagine a house, because I got to rush because time. See, in a house, any house, apartment, whatever you call it, I don't care if it's a shack, every dwelling has a window. Every dwelling has a door. Am I right about it? Where people often live in that dwelling. Whether it's an apartment or a house, somebody's living there. Now, if that somebody wants to see what's going on in the outside, what does he have to do? The same thing is true in the spirit. If you want to see what God is doing in the spirit world, you got to get up from your comfortable whatever and go close to a window or go close to a door and take a peep. If you're not willing to walk out into the supernatural, but at least you can open your eyes and look through the windows. I wish I have more time to break this down to your level, because in the spirit, your soul is a window. Ah. Help me, Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to reveal himself to you. Walk in the spirit. Walk in the light. It's a beautiful light. But if you sit in your comfortable religion and you never come close to the window, you never come to prayer meeting, you never have a family time together and say, we're just going to pray. We've been spending a family reunion gossiping, talking about mundane stuff that is not profitable. Now we're going to talk about the things of God. If you don't look, you will never see. Point number two, for the sake of time. Another thing you need to do is called meditation. Develop a spirit of meditating in the Word. I never go to sleep any day without the Bible speaking to me. Your phone, you can read it, you have audio Bible. There's nothing magical about me. I'm a brother just like you. But I've had to get my wife to accept the fact that I cannot go to bed without God speaking to me. Meditate. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law, I'm trying to stop. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. Be careful to do what it says. Then, not before then. Then, you will make your way prosper. Then, you will find good success. Let me, Holy Ghost. If you're here today and what you need is healing, guess what you need to be meditating on? Healing scriptures. If you need healing, this is not a time to be finding out about the four-headed beast in the book of Revelation. You are wasting your. Zero in on what you need from God. If you want angelic visitation, if you want to develop clarity of vision, then there are many scriptures about visions, about dreams, Meditate on what you need. If what your problem is right now is financial blessing, you've been here, you've been trying your best to pay your bills, you are working hard, you're working 2-3 jobs, and the devil is still messing with your finances. Meditate on scriptures that relate to what you need. Some of you sisters, you're here, you believe in God for a spouse, you don't need to call the preacher. Preachers don't give spouse. I might hook you up, but... Oh, Lord, let me get back in the spirit. Meditate on scriptures that relates to what you need. Amen, somebody. Another thing you need to do, number three. I'm trying to show you how your eyes can be open in the spirit. You need what we call quietness of your soul before God. We live in a world that is too noisy. You cannot see if your soul is not quiet. Quietness of your soul is the incubation bed for revelation. If you want God to show you how to talk, show you how to walk, show you, is this man a joker? Is this the man I should marry? Show you a future for your children. I mean, you need, your soul needs to be quiet. Sometimes you need to turn off that phone. See, I'm not hooping and hollering today. I'm teaching practical Christianity. Just find you will find peace in the midst of quietness of soul. Are you still here? That's why the Bible says, be still. See, we're too fidgety. We're constantly moving. Where are you going? Oh, I got to go to this. Oh, my sorority sister. Oh, my church group. Oh, my family group. Oh, and then the devil will give you more group, more meetings to attend. And you're running. And then you never hear from God. You never see the heavenlies. And then you run till you run yourself to the ground. Let me say this one. Another thing you need to do is to feed your spirit with the word of God. Even the doctors know you are what you eat. What have you been feeding your spirit, man? If you feed your spirit with gossip, you'll be an expert gossiper. Some of them are in the house. Oh, goodness gracious. I don't know why God sent you a preacher like this. Feed yourself with the word of God. Amen, somebody. Let me say one more thing. My time is precious. Please expect to see miracles. Whatever you expect is what you're going to see. I wake up in the morning expecting to see angels in my house. I find myself on the highway expecting God to speak to me. Many of us, we believe God for great things, but we never expect great things. If you want to see it, you got to expect it. I got to pray with you.